Good morning. Today's daf Mabakama Kuf Tes Zion. That's 116. We are in 115, Kuf Tes Vav, and we happen to be on the Amud Aleph. We fell a little bit behind on these big dapim, so let's go. We are in the middle of the discussion in the Gemara regarding Takanas Ashok. The idea behind Takanas Ashok is that we are interested in protecting the buyer. As I pointed out yesterday, numerous areas in Halacha, so the Chachamim created protection for the buyer protection. And they did so for numerous reasons. The first one that comes to my mind is that basically the Chachamim tried to make sure that the markets work. And markets work when you have buyer protection. So the buyer knows that when he goes and purchases something and he's afforded a certain amount of protection, so it gives the consumer a certain amount of confidence. What they say in modern days, consumer confidence. Good. So the Takanas Hashuk that we're learning about is the following, and that is, what happens if I buy stolen merchandise? Okay, so I went to the store, I bought something, and lo and behold, it was stolen. Good. The original owner comes over to me, the Marukama comes over to me and says, look, that item that you have, it's mine. It was stolen from me. So yesterday we spent some time going over the basic idea of how do you verify that information? Okay, but the information is verified. It's good information. Now what? So here's what should happen. What should happen is that the purchaser should go ahead and return the item back to its original owner. And now the purchaser has got to go back to the seller and get a refund from the seller. That's what should happen. However, the Chachamim said that's not what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. What's going to happen now is that there will be a reimbursement from the Marukama to the purchaser. And then the Marukama, the original owner, now is going to go to the thief and seek reimbursement from the thief. Okay, now, admittedly, by the way, in other words, whenever you protect somebody, so it's somebody else is going to lose. Over here, the loser is the victim. Which, if you think about it, I'm not sure if I made such emphasis on this point yesterday, but it's rather remarkable. Meaning, in service of protecting the buyer, so now what we're going to do is that we're going to create a tremendous inconvenience to none other than the victim himself. The victim himself now, who was not only stolen from, but now he's got to go ahead and seek reimbursement. In other words, he shelled out money for an item that belonged to him. And now he's got to go get reimbursement from the Ganav. That's amazing. Good. And which is exactly the point. Meaning, the more that I say this over, the more that I understand it, the more I appreciate and realize this is a takana. This is a real takana in which in service of the lokeach, we're gonna put an inconvenience, a major inconvenience on the original owner. Good. But that's the halacha of Takanas Ashok. So yesterday, what we did in the Gemara, we're finishing up the sugya just a few minutes from now. Meaning, this is all part of yesterday's daf. So yesterday in the Gemara, so we went through the first dilemma, which is how do you verify this information, right? Somebody comes over and says to you, "Oh, that item that you purchased is stolen, and it's my item." So how does that information get verified? We did that yesterday. Also yesterday, we went through a machlokas amarayim, Rav and Rav Yochanan. What are the limits of this takana? When do we protect the lokeach? What if the ganav is hooker? What if we now know who the identity of the ganav is? Okay, so we did that yesterday as well. Itmar. So where you can find us right now is on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, and we are halfway down on the Amud. Okay, is there a good way to find it? Not really, but in other words, but going halfway down the Amud, and the first words in the is Leganevu Salam before some, and then immediately thereafter it starts with the word Itmar. So, ganav par bechava, ganav par behekefa, lo asa bo takanas hashuk. Damri lo adaita, dehanu yahavti le midi. Another limitation regarding takanas hashuk, and that is, takanas hashuk is not afforded for the ganav who is using it to pay off debt. Meaning, you have a ganav and he's got debt. And so he has no money. Oh, so he's a ganav. So what is he going to do? He's going to steal. Oh, okay, great. Great solution. Okay, so now he stole the item and now he is using the item to pay off the debt. So now when the original owner comes back to the lender and says to the lender, I'll take that back, there we're not going to afford him the buyer's protection. And for a really simple reason, because he's not a buyer. In other words, we want to afford buyer protection to someone who actually is interested in purchasing this item. The lender over here who got his debt serviced by a stolen item, he doesn't care about the stolen item. He just simply cares about the value of the stolen item. So over there, in such a situation, we're not going to afford him the takan of takan zashuk. Okay, mashkanasa. Now, what if it's a mashka? Okay, so now what happens is the following, and that is that somebody borrows money from me, and so he gives me a mashkan, He gives me an item of collateral to hold, so that the so that in the event of default, so I get to keep the mashkon. And now what happens is the following, and that mashkon that I received actually was a stolen item. And so now Takan Sashuk over here in such a situation, great question. Shavei Masam Ben Me'as about Takan Sashuk. Now, if the item was valued at 200 for a loan of 100, so then for sure Takana Sashuk. Why? Because if the item is 200 for a $100 loan, clearly the item was there representing security against a loan. Clearly. In other words, that loan was going to be locked down by that item. The item exceeded the value of the loan. So under those circumstances, Takana Sashuk. Why? Because over there, the lender clearly looked at that item as, in the event of default, I'm getting this particular item. However, Shava B'Shava, but what if, let's say, the item of security was dollar for dollar loan to value? So then, Amem Amar Lo Asabot Takana Sashuk, Amar Zucha Amar, Asabot Takana Sashuk. Machlokis Amarayim. In other words, if it's dollar to dollar, you could try to make the argument. In other words, according to Mar Zutra, there's nothing to discuss Takanas Nashuk. But according to Amemar, because it's dollar to dollar, you're not really interested in this item per se, as much as it's just simply going to secure the loan. And effectively, what it's doing is it's just servicing debt, and you're not really interested in that item. That would be the explanation of Amemar. Zvini, Shava B'Shava. So also about Takanas Nashuk. Now, on a standard sale, so we employ Takana Sashuk. I know we know that already. But in other words, the sale was dollar to dollar. In other words, the item was sold at its value. However, Shava Meya B'Masan, Rav Sheshi Amar Lo Asa about Takana Sashuk, and Rav Amar Asa about Takana Sashuk. But let's say you significantly overpaid for the item. Two times the value of the item. Now, I know there's this thing called Ona'a. We all know there's this thing called Ona'a. And you're not allowed to sell nor purchase something greater than its value by 1/6, by 18%. Okay. Oh, that's true. But you can always elect to pay more. You wanted to. The item to you has really dear value. So you pay two times its value. So then, are we going to say Takana Sashuk in such a situation? Once again, it's a machlokas amarayim. And again, the position that we are going to afford Takana Sashuk, you bought it. On the side that you're not going to be afforded Takana Sashuk, once you overpay for it, it's no longer, that's not a purchase. You know what that's called? It's called a matana. You gave a gift. In other words, no reasonable individual would pay two times greater than its value. And the Gemara says the final halacha is that anytime it's a purchase, regardless of how much you purchased it for, or even presumably in the case of the mashkan as well, presumably. So in all the above cases, Takana Sashuk. The only time we're not going to afford a Takana Sashuk protection to the buyer is only when it's just the stolen item was given to him for debt. In other words, it's not a purchase, but rather he's a lender. And now the borrower is short and the borrower defaulted. And now the borrower stole in order to pay for that debt. In that case, and only in that case, is the buyer, exactly it, he's not a buyer. In that case, the lender is not going to be afforded Takana Sashuk. Avim bar Nazi Chamud Ravina have a masik bau gaver arba zuzay. Okay, so Avima, who happened to have been the father-in-law of Ravina, so he was owed four zuz. Ganav glima v'asi ne'alei. Okay, so now his borrower was really desperate, and unfortunately, what did his borrower do? His borrower stole in order now to pay back the loan. V'uzve arba zuzay achrina. Now, after having successfully paid his loan. Now, I say successful payment of the loan. Mind you, by the way, that the borrower stole in order to pay for it. Okay, but from the father-in-law's perspective, loan was paid. He didn't know that the item was stolen. And now, okay, good. So now the borrower said, look, I did such a great job with the previous loan. Can I borrow it again? Can I borrow money again? Sure. So, So, l'sof hukar ganav. And now, afterwards, finally, like everything in life, the truth comes out. And so what happens now is that a recognition that the payment of the first loan came via a theft. Okay, good. Not good. So also coming to Ravina, now he goes to Ravina. Now, curiosity over here, by the way, Ravina's the son-in-law. So he's now going for a din Torah, and who does he go to as a dayan? He goes to his son-in-law as a dayan? Okay, that part's a little tricky. But I'm just going to skim right over that part, even though I know that's not only weird, but presumably that's not right. But, okay, it's dealt with, but we're not going to deal with it. So Amar Kamei Ganava Par Bechova Velo Bay Lameis Velo Velo Midi Hanach Arba Zizuzi Achrina Shkol Zuzich V'Hadaglime. So he says like as follows. So as far as the first four that you gave, so when he gave you the glima, the cloak, as payment of the loan, so that is exactly that, payment of the loan. And are you afforded Takanos Hashuk for that? No. In other words, because that was only in service of debt. And then Anach Arba Zuzachrina, as far as the last four that you lent out. So what we're going to say is Shkol Zuzach. So what you can do now is that you can demand your four Zuz. And what you can do is you can take back the Glima. In other words, the Glima can now be serving as a Mashkan against a loan. But as far as the first four Zuzim are concerned, you're not going to be protected. So Maskal Rav Cohen Vidoma Glima Bani Zuzakama Yavina Ale Ganova Parba Chova Ganova Parba Kefo Arba Basra Emune Emune Kechidemna Mikara. So Rav Cohen says, I'll give you a different perspective. I've had a look at it. And that is that the first four Zuz, so on that he's not going to get a reimbursement from the original owner. Why? Because the Glima that was given to him was simply for the debt. And we know there is no buyer protection. There is no Takanas Hashok if you're not buying the item, but you're just simply getting it in service of loan. Okay. And then what about the second loan? The second loan is just a second loan. Meaning, why did you lend them the money? Because at the time you trusted him. Now that trust happened to have proven to be false, and you shouldn't have. Okay. All fair. But right now, so you're not going to get a reimbursement on loan number one, because the glima that you got was a stolen glima, which was only surfacing debt. So the Glima now is just going to be taken back by its original owner. You're not going to get reimbursed for that. And as far as the second four Zuz is concerned, there's no Mashkon. We're not going to look at the Glima as a Mashkon. And therefore, you are now right now stuck. In other words, you are now, he does owe you eight Zuz, but currently right now, you're not going to be receiving a reimbursement from the original owner, and the Glima is not going to be viewed as a Mashkon. Ilgalgal Milsa Metalakam de Rabbi Abahu Amar Hilchasaka Rav Cohen. And in terms of who's looking at it correctly, so Rabbi Abahu was finally given this particular case, and he said Rav Cohen's looking at it correctly, the way we just got done describing. Okay. Narsha'a. There's a person who came from Narash. Sure. And Ganav Sifra. Zavni Lepupanai. Betamne Zuzay. Okay, so follow over here the bouncing ball, but over here not a bouncing ball, but the bouncing book. Okay, so there was a guy who stole, and he sold it to Papuna'a. Okay, we'll call him buyer number one. You know what's happening, by the way. There's going to be a buyer number two. So he sold it for 80 zuz. Also, Papuna'a is up in Labar Mechuza, and now Papuna'a turned around and sold it to another buyer, but may have some zuzi. Okay, so first of all, complimenting Papuna'a for his good business sense, buying something at 80. Zuz, and then turning around selling it for 120, good for him. Again, by the way, Ona becomes a sticking point, but once again, I'm going to ignore it. Okay, in service of catching up. So, but obviously, shouldn't ignore it, but I will for the time being. Okay, anyway, so you understand now that there's not one, but there are two buyers of this item. The item is a stolen item. So Papuna is buyer number one, and Bar Mechuz is buyer number two. And Bar Mechuza now laid out 120 zuz for this sefer. L'sof hukar ganav, and now recognition that the item is a stolen item. Amar Abaye. So now, how are we doing this reimbursing thing? In other words, obviously now the sefer is going to be taken away. Okay, and obviously there's going to be a lot of reimbursement that needs to be done. Right, Papuna's looking back to get back his 80 zuz, and Bar Mechuza is looking to get back his 120. How do we do the reimbursement? I'm Rabbi Lezo Mari de Safre V'yavilei LaBar Mechuza Tamne Zuzay V'shakol Safre and V'alza Bar Mechuza V'shakol Arba Mi Papunai. Okay, so the way Abai sees it is that the original owner now is going to go back to Bar Mechuza, give him 80 Zuz, even though Bar Mechuzah laid out 120 zuz, he's going to take back his sefer, and Bar Mechuzah now is going to go back to Papanai and get back the 40 zuz. So in other words, we are going to afford Takanas Hashuk protection to buyer number two, but it's going to get a little bit complicated for him to seek reimbursement. Only 80 is going to be given from the original owner, and 40 will come from buyer number one, or from his perspective, the seller. Now, Maskev la Rava Hashta lokech mi ganavazu botakanas hashuk lokech mi baye, and Rava says no, absolutely not. That's not the correct way to look at it. Ela amar Rava lezo mari de safre en veyayv la bar mechuzah meyav v'shem zuz v'shakel safre velezo mari de safre and velishkal arba mi papunai v'tamne minarsha. Okay, now here's what's going to happen. In other words, the way Rava looks at it is as follows. Takanas Hashuk is there to protect the buyer. Over here, there happens to be not one, but two buyers. Okay, good. Rava says, when the Chachamim employed Takanas Hashuk, so what they were interested in is the buyer who's currently holding it. The buyer currently holding is Bar Mechuzah, who paid 120. He's now going to be given the buyer protection. And so now when the book is taken away from him, the sefer is taken away, so now he's going to be receiving the full 120. Marakama, original owner, now is going to go to him and give him the full 120. In other words, reimbursement. Ah, okay, good. Now, so now Mar de Safre is now going to go to Papunai and get 40 from him, because Papunai eventually is going to also get reimbursed. Now, remember, Papunai got 120. Now, but again, on a stolen item. So obviously now that 120 that 120 that he received didn't belong to him. Now who is he going to do? What is he going to do? So now the original owner is going to be taking back 40 from Papunai and 80 from Narsha. In other words, 40 from Papunai and 80 from the thief. Okay, everyone's going to get their money. It's just a question of who are we going to be employing Takanas Hashuk on behalf of. Who is it in service of? The buyer, but over here, buyer number two. Buyer number two, who's currently holding the sefer and having the sefer now being stripped away from him, he will be receiving the takana. He'll be getting the full 120 from the original owner.
He's also very careful, right?
Yeah. If he's caught, yeah. Assuming.
He's having to cough up the 120, that means he's caught, no?
No. Over here, the numbers are just simply because of the payments that were made for the purchase. In terms of kefal, that's a separate issue. Okay. Again, all this is just basically who's getting reimbursed from whom. That's the only question of Takanas Hashuk. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. Not really. From part one of yesterday's daf. And so now we just covered the sugya in Shas regarding Takanas Hashuk. Okay. We're in the Mishnah. We're in the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. This Mishnah should ring familiar in our ears. We've done this Mishnah before. Zeba bechavisa v'zeba bechado shal dvash. And is the chavis shal dvash v'shavach ze es yeno. V'hitzel sa dvash lesocho. Ein lo el escharo. Okay. So the first part of the Mishnah we've done before. And you know how I like to give a heading to this first part of the Mishnah? No good deed goes unpunished. You know that. Okay, we all know that. Now, obviously, I don't want to disincentivize anyone from trying to be a good person and trying to do the right thing. But, right, sometimes cliches really do work. And it's really true. So over here, two peoples with barrels, one had honey and the other had wine. Oddly enough, honey is much more expensive than wine. Now, it's not odd. It's true. Honey is much more expensive than wine. So now what happened was is that the person with the barrel of honey, so his barrel broke. And his honey's spilling out. The guy with the wine said, look, let's do a little bit of cost analysis over here. His honey is much more expensive than my wine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pour out all my wine, and I'm going to use my empty barrel now to collect his honey. Okay, good. You know what the least is that you could do for me now? You can pay me for my wine. First say thank you. Okay. And you can pay me for my wine. And look, in other words, if you think about it, it makes perfect sense what I did. Just simple cost analysis. In other words, your honey is much more expensive than my wine. So in other words, so I did you a favor. You could have gone from having honey to zero. And what I did now is that I saved your wine. but the expense at I'm sorry, I saved your honey, but at the expense of my wine. You could pay me for my wine, thank you very much. So what the Mishnah tells us is no, they didn't agree to it. In other words, you made an executive decision. You, the owner of the wine barrel, you made the executive decision. You didn't consult with him. You didn't tell him what you were going to do. He doesn't. In other words, you made the executive decision, but you didn't consult with the most important person over here, the owner of the barrel of honey. You didn't consult with him. So in other words, the only thing he has to pay you is for your time, right? Thank you for your service. I'll pay you for your service, but I'm not going to be paying you for your wine. The Mishnah then goes on. Okay, good. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, but what if they do make an agreement? So as the honey now is dripping out, so the owner of the barrel of the wine said, look, right, cost analysis. I'm sure you wouldn't want to salvage your honey. I'll pour out my wine in order to salvage your honey. You'll use my empty barrel, but you'll pay me for the wine. Agreed? Oh, okay, good. So once they have an agreement, so then obviously you have to pay for the wine. Good. Next case in the Mishnah is a parallel case, nearly identical. The Gemara later is going to be asking the obvious question. Why two cases? We have two of our donkeys right now that are right by the riverbank, and all of a sudden a surge. And now our donkeys are floating away. My donkey's worth 100. Your donkey's worth 200. And again, simple cost analysis. It's better to save your donkey. In other words, your donkey is valued at 200. So I'll do that at the expense of losing my donkey. Okay? So now can I go over to him and say, look, I just saved your donkey. So in other words, you would have gone from 200 to zero. Okay, good. I saved your donkey. But it cost me money. I had to sacrifice my donkey to save your donkey. Can you pay me the 100? Once again, if I made the executive decision without consulting with you, so then you'll say to me, thank you so much, but no, I'm not paying for your donkey. You didn't ask me. On the other hand, the Mishnah then goes on to say, good. And then, but if we obviously make the arrangement beforehand, so then obviously you have to pay me. Okay. Good. So the Gemara wants to know the following, and that is that, let's go back to the first case of the Mishnah. Barrel of honey, barrel broke, honey's now spilling out, and now what do? I save it. The Gemara's question over here is so simple and so good. And that is, how about this? Instead of me saying I saved the wine, how about this? I'm sorry, you're correct. Right. Instead of me saying I saved the honey, how about this? How about the honey's mine? All right? In other words, what's happening to your honey right now? It's spilling out into the street. That's called Hefker. And so when I take it, what am I doing? I'm collecting it from Hefker. And so isn't that another way to look at it? And obviously advantageous towards the owner of the barrel of wine. I'm more than happy to spill out all my wine in order to collect honey, especially if the honey belongs to me. And considering the fact right now that your honey barrel broke and your honey now is spilled out into the street. Okay, so if I want to collect it now, I understand it doesn't seem that sanitary, but if I want to collect it now and keep it for me, shouldn't I be able to claim it's mine? So Milo Tanya, the Gemara says, and I want you to know, this is a strong question. We have a Brisa supporting this. So we have now a person carrying jugs of wine and oil, and they are breaking. So lo yomar harizet shuma ma'aser al perosheish lebesoch beisi. So what you should not say is that this wine, this oil, should serve as ma'aser on my fruit that I have in my house. Im amar lo amar klum. And if he says it, it has no halachic significance to it whatsoever. By virtue of the fact that the oil and wine are going to go into the street, they now belong to Hefker. You can't use Hefker as your Trumas and Maestros. Ah. It is abundantly clear that anything that is spilling out into the street now no longer belongs to you. It is now Hefker. And so when I, the owner of the barrel of wine, spill out my wine to collect the honey, why are we saying that the honey still belongs to you? Why don't we just simply say that I've now acquired the honey from Hefker? So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rav Yirmiyah kishakol beis abad kruch aleha hachanami kishakol beis abad kruch aleha." So the so over here we're not talking about where the barrel broke. In other words, we're talking about a leak in the barrel. A leak in the barrel, so it is coming out slowly. Since it's coming out slowly, we don't view that as hefker. Im amar lo amar klum. We're going back to the brisa. The brisa said, in the case of wine and oil, where it's spilling out to the street, and I want to declare it to be trumas amaisos, I can't. Why? Once it's spilling out to the street, it's hefker. So the Gemara says, on that brisa, just a quick question. Vehatanya, we learned. Misha babeder chumas biyadav anas kenegdo. Lo yomar hare perish yeshlo besoch beisim mechulalam amas halalu. V'imam ha'dvar of kayamim. You're getting held up. In other words, you got money, and you are getting held up. And so, quickly you think on your feet, and you say, you know what? You're about to take my money? That money now is going to have the kedusha of my Meister Sheni. Okay. Quick thinking. So the now ideally, obviously, don't do that. But what if you do? Im amar dvarav kayamim. Okay. So now you understand, in the case of the wine and oil that's spilling out into the street, so that's hefker. And you can't designate that as trumas maestros. But when the thief takes your money, you can be, you shouldn't, but you can be mechalal, the kedusha maestro sheni, onto that money. So the Gemara says, hachem ha-maiskin b'shiach ha-latzil. So the Gemara says, well, that money's not hefker. Why? Because you'll be running after that thief. And you can run after the thief. The case under review is where I can run after the thief. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's true, meaning the thief is not particularly fast, okay, and you have no problem catching up to him. Well, if that's true, then what's wrong doing it ideally? So the Gemara says, okay, it'll take a little bit of exertion to run after him. So ideally, in other words, you may not put in that exertion and you may not catch up to him. But in other words, if you really put in a good effort, you could do so. Okay, so that's why it's not ideal, but it works. Okay. Okay. Whether that line belongs in the Gemara is not a subject to a debate, but anyway, let's take another brisa into consideration. Let's say I have 10 barrels of wine, and it happens to be that this wine is Maaser Rishon. And we know by Maaser Rishon, in order for you to enjoy your Maaser Rishon, I say you, by the way, I'm obviously talking to the Levim out there who collected their Maaser Rishon. Now, for a Levi to enjoy his Maaser Rishon, he has to give 10% of it over to a Kohen. It's what's called Shumas Maaser. Good. And now, and it happens to be that the wine happens to be tummy. Okay, so the case under discussion is, it's complicated. It is a Levi with his Maaser Rishon. It's wine. He hasn't taken off Trumas Maaser yet. Therefore, it's Tevel. And the wine also happens to be tummy. Okay, you got all that? Okay, good. And Vera Achas Mehem Shenishmer Ocean is Galta. So now one of the barrels is breaking. Alternatively, it was exposed. Now, exposed wine is as good as broken, right? Back in the good old days, so when you had wine which was exposed, so the concern always is that a snake is going to go there and insert venom into the wine. Okay, now.
Can you give chum from tummy product?
All of it was tummy. Please wait. We're going to be discussing your very question in just a moment. So, Omer, harehi chumas maisa al tesha chavrasa. Now, what you are allowed to do is that you're allowed to designate that as Trumas Maaser. Okay, and in doing so, the nine barrels are Misukan. They're good. Now, Uvishemina, when it comes to oil, lo yasakem imne hefse kohen. Now, when it comes to oil, so you cannot do that because the kohen is going to be standing at a loss. And therefore you can't do it. Okay, now we're gonna come back to loss in just a moment. But meanwhile, over here, how could it be? Meaning that over here, we're looking at broken barrels that are going into the street. That's hefker. How can I use that as my trumas maaser on the other nine barrels? So I'm Rav Yirmiyah, kesheikol beisabad kruchala. So once again, we're saying broken barrel. It's not broken barrel. It's a leaky barrel. And when it's low, and when it's a slow leak, that's not considered hefker. Okay, good. Bishlama shenishbra chazya. So the Gemara says, now, let's take the following under consideration. So we just learned together that I have now 10 barrels of my Sarishon, and one of the barrels now is leaking. We now know not broken, but leaking. So under this discussion, so the Brisa says that when it comes to wine, you can go ahead and designate it as Trumas Meiser. Now, Bishlam and Nishbar Chazya. Now, I understand where it's broken. Okay, but in other words, again, it's a slow leak. It's not a big deal. But Elan is Galtel Amai Chazya. So the Gemara says, but if it was exposed, meaning exposed wine is as good as nothing. Meaning, I'm sorry, it has no value to it whatsoever. A snake goes in, inserts its venom in it, you can't use it for anything.
Does it have to be overnight, though?
Huh?
Does it have to be overnight?
I assume when it says nisgalta, it means, you know, with the duration of how much exposure is necessary. So you have water, and we're going to assume the same thing is true regarding wine that suffered exposure. So you can't use it. Period. Now we gave a whole things of what you can't do with it. Okay, you can't make a mortar out of it, and you can't sweep the floor with it, and you can't give it to your animal to drink. The venom that's inside is a contaminant. It's hazardous, and any exposure to that venom is no good, and so that you can't do anything with it. So the Gemara now wants to know. So we gave in the example of the barrel breaking, we said, well, the barrel didn't break, slow leak, okay. But in the case of an exposure, so and there's venom inside of it, it has no value. How could you then designate it as your Trumas Meiser? It's a fair question, more than fair. So Avrele ben Masanenis. Reb Nechemia. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Reb Nechemia happens to have a solution to that problem. And that is, you could strain it. Now, not everyone agrees. And this gets to a funny machlokus, by the way. Is it possible to strain the venom, or is it not possible to strain the venom?
No.
Right. In other words, it is really just a Metzius question, right? And over here, how could we be debating something which is either yes or no? Meaning it's empirical. Okay. So, you know, when we get to this point, I'm a little bit at a loss how to explain how it's a machlokus, but it is. And Reb Nechemia says, the Tanya, Misa, Nenet Yesh Bamishum Gilui. Am Reb Nechemia Emesai, Bizman Shah Tachton Megula, Ava Bizman Shah Tachton Mechusa, Ava Pishal Yonah Megula, Em Bamishum Gilu, Lefi Sherish on Nachash Domus Fog, and Safa of Omid Vim Kamo. Now, without getting into the details of upper and lower, just for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that according to Reb Nechemia, so the venom itself has a different density than the rest of the water. It's more viscous. It's whatever. It has a different density. And so therefore, you could strain it. And so since you could strain it, so it's not, we're not at a loss. So the Gemara says, okay, lavit ma'alam. I'm Rabbi Simon, I'm Rav Shimon Levi lo shanu alo shlo tarku. Aval tarku asr. So the Gemara says, okay, Reb Nechemia says that the water can be strained of its venom, but that's only if you didn't agitate. Once you agitate and you mix everything together, so then even Reb Nechemia will tell you, you can't strain it. So the Gemara says, what you could do is that you can put some sort of towel, shmata, over the lip of the barrel, pour it out slowly. And even Reb Nechemia would say that even under such a situation, you can go ahead and you can strain it, and you can remove the venom. Or Reb Nechemia meet Tarmin and Atanya Tormim and Atame Latame Minatar Lator Minatar Latame Valo Minatame Lator. Reb Nechemia Omer Af Minatame Latame Lo Itir Lachum Ela Bishal Damai. So the Gemara says, okay. So in order to explain this price, we have it going like the sheet of Reb Nechemia that solves for our venom problem. The Gemara says, okay, but in other words, we solve for the venom problem, but it happens to be that according to Reb Nechemia, I can't be mafish tame onto tame. You can't do that according to Reb Nechemia. So the Gemara says, now Reb Nechemia does make an exception for demai. So the Gemara says, hachinam bishal demai. Okay, the Gemara says fine. Over here, the case under review is talking about Damai. Okay. If this is the first time you're hearing the word Damai, so please come back again another time. I'll explain that much better on another occasion.
So since Damai, the Truma may have been taken.
Right, correct. In other words, it's only a suffix, and so therefore we're going to be Mako. Okay. Good. Where are we right now? So in the case of the broken barrel and the broken wine, so in the case of the broken wine, so if the barrel breaks and it's the hefker, you can't use it as your truma barrel. But if it's a slow leak, or if it's an exposure according to Reb Nechemia, where you constrain it, so then you can use it as your truma barrel. Okay, good. Amar, uvishem lo yaseh kein. Now, mimnei hefsek kohen. Now, you could do it with wine, but with oil, you're out of luck. In other words, if the oil is dripping out, or if the oil, by the tame oil, you can't use it as your truma barrel. You can't designate it as a truma barrel. Now, maishna derai lahadlik. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, maishna shemen. So now, as far as shemen is concerned, as far as oil is concerned, so you understand from it going from a state of not being tame to being tame, that is a hefsed kohen. Kohen's going to lose. Meaning, if the kohen is going to be getting truma, tahor oil versus tame oil, what has more value to the kohen? Obviously tahor oil. Tahor oil can be consumed. Tame oil, the only thing the kohen can do with it is use it for illumination. That has hana'a, but it doesn't have the same value. I get it. So yayinami riley zilof. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we say the same thing regarding wine as well? Tame wine, you can't drink it. You know what you could do with tame wine? Zilof. You could sprinkle it in your house to create a good aroma. V'chitim azilof lav milsi. The Gemara says, what kind of value is that? V'hamar shmol mishum rabichia shosin milog b'salo mizafin milog b'shtayim. So the Gemara says, it happens to be that we have the rule of Shmuel, which is that wine for drinking, one sela. Wine for aromatherapy, two selayim. In other words, not only is it not a depreciation of value, just the opposite. It goes up in value if you're going to be using it for sprinkling. So we're talking about new wine that doesn't have aroma. The Gemara says, okay, I got a great idea. It's new wine, let's age it. So the Gemara says, Asibale de Kala. The Gemara says, no, that's a terrible idea. Because in order to age it, what does that mean? That we're going to be having Truma wine sitting around our house for some time. That's a terrible idea. Having Truma wine sitting around our house, everyone's going to remember it's Truma wine. What's going to happen? Someone's going to take from the wine and drink from it. A non-coin, obviously, is who we're concerned about. So Sheminami Asili de Takala Demanach Beklimaus. So the Gemara says, okay, why, by oil, you're not worried about that? The Gemara says, by the oil, what we're going to be doing with the oil, with the tummy oil, is putting it in a klimos, in a disgusting kli. So the Gemara says, yainami manach le beklimos. Can't you do the same thing for wine? The Gemara says, no, of course not. Hashal is yilf kabay le beklimos kamanach le? No. No. If you're trying to make aromatherapy out of that wine, you're aging it so that it has a good aroma. Now, what's our solution? Meaning we don't want anyone to mistakenly drink it, so we're going to put it in a disgusting kli? No, we want the whole purpose of aging it is so that it has a pleasant aroma. Putting it in a disgusting kli is going to defeat the whole purpose. Okay. V'tekala atzma tanaihi. And the Gemara says, now this concern about leaving truma around, it's machlokas tanaihi. Detanya chavishol yayin shel truma shenit meis beishamei omerim. As we turn to the top of today's daf, kuf tezayin, beishamei omerim tisha pech hakol. So according to Beit Shammai, so when you have truma tameah, so what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You discard it. In other words, don't leave it around. And Beit Hillel omerim tasa zilof. And according to Beit Hillel, no, let's age it. Because by aging it now, it's going to get that beautiful aroma, and we can use it for aromatherapy. So I'm Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Yossi, Ani Achriya, Babai tasa zilof of Asad, de Tisha Pechakov. And Rabbi Shammai says, let's compromise. Okay? And where did the wine become tummy? If it became tummy out in the field, so then discard it. If it became tummy in the house, so then in the house already, so we'll just mark it off as tummy, we'll let it sit, age, and we'll use it for aromatherapy. Now, Igadam Rabbi Yashan Tase Zilof of Echadus Shishapechakol. Another way to understand the compromise of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi, a distinction between wine that is totally new versus wine that's already starting to age. And whether or not now, since they already started aging, we can continue the aging process. Amru lo inachrash shimachras. This compromise position, not buying it. Not buying the compromise position. In other words, either you side with Beis Shammah or you side with Beis Hillel, but not the compromise. Okay. Very good, very good. Okay, go. Rav Chaim already is familiar with Rashi, and that's exactly what Rashi says. Meaning, why aren't we taking the compromise position? Don't we like compromise? Meaning, if we can create a achra between two positions, isn't that great? So Rashi points out over here, no, not here. Because in order to take a compromise position, what you have to hear from the combatants is that there could be a distinction that you're going to make, I reject it. Meaning, if Beit Shammai were to say something along the lines of, you spill it out, and I don't care whether it's in the field or in the house. And if Beis Hillel would have said something along the lines of, let's preserve it, whether it's in the field or in the house, already you're hearing in their positions, there could be a possible distinction, which they're rejecting. And now, once you hear that, now what you could do is you can make a compromise. So in the field we'll do one way, in the house we'll do another way. But when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel present their positions, they're saying it unequivocally. Beis Shammai says, do not lay Truma Tmeya around, period. And Beis Hillel says, no, you can let it age. And now you want to strike a compromise on details they never discussed? That you can't do. Okay, good. That's the way Rashi presents it. You see this big Tosfos over here? We're not going to go through the Tosfos, but I will thank Tosfos, however, because it'll give us the chance to catch up. Oh, good. Now, Im Amarlo. Im amarlo matzil ishelcha amai neimalei mishata nibach. Okay, now, Gemara wants to know as follows. We're going to the next part of the Mishnah. Let's go back to our Mishnah. What happened in our Mishnah is that we had an agreement. Okay, my honey's spilling out. You have your wine barrel. You're going to spill all your wine and you're going to save my honey. Thank you very much. And we agreed now that what I'm going to do is I'm going to pay you for all your wine. Okay, great. And once we made an agreement, so then I have to pay you for your wine. So far sounds reasonable. The Gemara wants to know, I know we agreed to terms, but can I not make the claim, Mishat Anibach? Sometimes in negotiation, sometimes you have the right to say, I wasn't serious. Now, when do you have the right to say that? That's exactly what we're going to discuss. So Milo Tanya Risha Yaborech mi Beis Asur and Vahaisa Ma'o Verslafan of Amr Lo Tol Dinar Veheverani Ein Lo Elos Charo Ama Amr Le Mishat Enibach Achanam Le Malay Mishat Enibach. So the classic case of Mishat Enibach, this is not the first time we're going through this sugya. We've gone through this sugya numerous times. And the first time there were the classic case of Mishat Enibach is the following. It's a real drama. You're running away from jail. Okay, so jailbreak. You got out of jail. Fantastic. And now you're running away, but obviously you get to the riverbank and you need a little help crossing the river. Now, the reason why this is a drama is because we need the desperation right now. So you turn to the ferryman and you say, okay, get me across right now. Right, I'll pay you a dinar. Now, we don't know the cost of things, but in other words, a dinar is an absurd amount of money to just simply get the ferry to go from side A to side B. Okay, good. So as he got you to side B, so you're in the clear. So now what are you going to pay him? The dinar you told him going to pay him? No, you pay him the regular fare. You told him you're going to pay a dinar? Mishat anibach. An absurd amount that you offered is you were not serious. So in other words, you can actually say that mishat anibach. I wasn't serious. Obviously, I'll pay you fair value. But the dinar, I'm not going to give you. Okay, so we see over here that this Meshat Enibach is something that a halacha allows for. Halo dami el seifa v'im amar lo tol dinar zeh b'scharchev avirani nosan lo scharam mishalem. So the Gemara says the Braisa actually went on, and now we get to hear the second half of the Braisa. In the second half of the Braisa, if I say to the ferryman, I'm going to be giving you a dinar for your services. So then you have to give him the dinar. So Mishnah, Reisha Mishnah, Seifa, Amar, Rabbi Mechama, B'tzayit HaShola, Dagim and Ayam, De'amar Lei, Avsara Tanika, V'Reb Zizah. So the Gemara says, in the second half of that Braisa, the following. He's a ferryman, and he's also a fisherman. Okay, he wears a couple of hats while he's on that little boat of his. And so now you say to him, I need a ferry. And he'll say to you, wait one second. Right? Do you know what season it is right now? In other words, I can catch some serious fish. Okay? Jack, I'm thinking of you. So I can catch some serious fish. You're going to take me away from that right now? Oh, that's opportunity. That's an opportunity cost. I'm charging you that. Oh, once it's understood now that you're right, services to cross the ferry normally are not a dinar. But now with the understanding of you're taking me away from my fishing and I could have made that money, I'm charging you a dinar. So once we have that as part of the understanding, you no longer could say Meshata Nibach. Okay, good. And so now over here in our case, obviously resolves our question. Why in our case can the owner of the honey barrel say to the wine owner, well, I was just fooling around with you? No. In other words, if I'm losing my wine and you understand that, and we agree that you're going to be paying for the wine, obviously you have to pay for the wine. Shatav nar chamor chamor chaver shelo yafe man v'chulei tzrichei. Why do I need both cases of the Mishnah? I'll tell you why I need both. In the first case of the Mishnah, I'm actually spilling out my wine. In the second case of the Mishnah, I'm just neglecting my donkey. Okay, one is active, the other is passive. So the iash mina seif achu de bistama. And we could also argue in the other direction, meaning in the second case, it's passive. So you understand that if we didn't come to terms, so then you're not going to reimburse me for my donkey. But in the first case, even if we didn't come to terms, you see me spilling my wine, and even though we didn't agree to terms, but can't I just assume that you're going to pay me for my wine? I'm pouring it out. So kamash malan. That's what we're coming to learn. And so each one of the cases of the Mishnah is producing a chiddush. Vamine Rav Kana me Rav Yaro Lahatzil va'ala shalo me alav mahu. Beautiful question over here. Beautiful. Now, let's say in the case where our donkeys are now are being lost in the river in the surge, and I go now. And I go save your donkey with the agreement. And so now you're going to pay me for my donkey. Okay, good. So I go into the river, salvage your donkey. Good. Now pay me. Wait 1 second. Ah. Okay. Okay. So now pay me for my donkey. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, something majestic happens. The $100 donkey knows how to swim. and makes its way back to the shore. And now my argument is, so Amar Le Mishamay Rachmi Aleha. That came from God. That was divine providence over there. And so, in other words, I was ready to sacrifice my donkey. Now it happens to be that my donkey is amazing, but that was miraculous. And you're still paying me for the donkey that I was ready to lose. Okay. So, and Rav says exactly that. Mishamai rachmi alaha. And the Gemara says that, in fact, is a legitimate argument. Okay. Let's just read this. Ki ha drav safra avakaza b'shayreis v'liv nehu are. Koleila kol shadolei chamer decha minai v'ka'acha. Ki matas mani drav safra shadolei chamer v'lo achle. Okay. There was a protective line that they brought with them on their caravan. You heard me correctly. And the story with this line was, is that the line was there to safeguard all the travelers. Funny, the travelers weren't worried about the line themselves. Apparently not. Friendly line. You can see the Bam Tosfos over here discussing that. Anyway, but the line needs to eat. And so each one of them agreed a donkey is going to be sacrificed by each one of them as dinner for the line every day. And then it came time for Rav Safra. Rav Safra offered his donkey to the lion on his day. And lo and behold, lion wasn't interested. So Shadr Khamar Vlawakh Lekan, Rav Safra Vizakha Bay Amarle, Ravakami Diftal Ravina Lamal Lemiske Bay, Nihidikhe Afkare Adaita Dari Afkare Adaita Dukula Amalo Afkare. So the Gemara says that now what Rav Safra did is he took back his lion. Sorry. He took back his donkey. And he said, look, in other words, the lion was supposed to eat my donkey. Again, divine intervention, miraculous. I'm going to keep my donkey. Now, the Gemara wanted to know that it was Hefker or not Hefker. So the Gemara says, the truth of the matter is it wasn't Hefker. So Amar Asafa L'Ravcha D'Mosu D'Avad. It wasn't Hefker. In other words, he only offered it to the lion if the lion was going to eat it. But if the lion wasn't going to eat it, he was going to keep it. The only reason why he was zocha it is so that nobody would quibble with him. But in other words, but the point the Gemara is making is that if you were ready to sacrifice something, and it was an unbelievably unusual scenario in which the animal was saved, you get to benefit from that in whatever manner as just described. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Good, we did really good today. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, we continue.